Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me and tuning in. Today, we have Layla Miller, and we are going to be talking about divorce and broken foundations. And if you are like me and you entered into marriage coming from a broken family, your outlook on life is going to be very different than if you didn't, and how you are going to run your household, how things are going to play out within your marriage, and maybe brokenness you never even knew you had to deal with. So without further ado, let's get right into it with Layla Miller. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have Layla Miller, and she is one of the contributors in the new book coming out, Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. Welcome, Layla.
Thank you, Crystalina. I'm always glad to be here with you.
You have been on several times before, and we always have good conversations and real honest conversations. And I love that you're so knowledgeable about the topic of divorce. Now, you do not come from a divorced family, correct?
That's right. I'm from an intact family, and I really had no knowledge of the walking wounded all around me and the pains and the long-term pains of divorce that afflict people really throughout their lives. And I had no idea. I was kind of walking around oblivious to all of that until I started doing some work on the effects of divorce on children, even into their adulthood.
Now, your chapter is completely focused on divorce, and your chapter title is Divorce Hurts More Than Two. And I love how you laid it out for the women that are going to read this, that there are two different women walking down the aisle, two different complete scenarios of one woman and kind of her perspective on coming from an intact family and the other one coming from a divorced family. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So it's something, again, that I really had no idea was happening, which is that a woman from an intact family is going to approach her marriage, generally speaking, differently than a woman from a divorced family. And so I talk about bride one and bride two. So I was bride one. I come down the aisle, you know, come to my marriage completely kind of relaxed. I was not worried about whether or not this marriage was going to last. I was not overly anxious about anything. I thought, great, you know, that's what you do. You get married, you have fights along the way, whatever, but you stay together until one of you dies. So it was really not a big anxiety producing thing to face marriage. And then there are the women, again, not everyone, but a lot of women of divorce, where their parents were divorced, they come to marriage with a lot of baggage, a lot of anxiety about, will this work? You know, how do I resolve conflict? What if he leaves? What if I leave? What if there's, you know, I can't figure out how to get this done? And I mean, there's so many different anxieties and burdens that are on her shoulders that aren't on bride number one, who didn't have that complication in her childhood or in her life. So really, I never knew that this was how women approached marriage, from a completely different emotional and psychological and spiritual, you know, perspective than someone like me.
I think even from a society just as a whole, they don't realize this is an issue, because I feel like there was this entire generation that is coming now, and from the 60s, of children being brought up where kind of the moms left the home, they went and they had their careers, and they were kind of leaving their vocations behind, and there were a lot of divorces, and women's mindsets were kind of really just rapidly and drastically changing. And I feel like there's this entire generation of children that were raised in that are married now and raising their own kids and don't realize the effects of what they experienced because of that.
Right. And they don't have, like you said, they don't even have maybe a conscious understanding Mm-mm. of why they feel anxious or what's going on, why they feel so insecure as they begin their marriage, as they go through their marriage. They don't really know what's going on, because of course the narrative of the culture is divorce is fine. You know, kids are resilient. As long as the parents were happy and had to kind of move along, then really the children are happy too. And everybody's well adjusted. And isn't this great? And so they often aren't able to pin their anxieties or their insecurities or their lack of trust or whatever else on the fact that their foundation was broken as a child. They don't connect the two because nobody allows them to connect it. The culture certainly won't say that divorce is a bad thing for these children. So they're left kind of wondering, I don't know why I'm this way. I must be something wrong with me. And that's one of the big, I guess you could say, secrets that we need to really talk about. It is very normal for someone from a broken family, a divorce, to approach marriage and then live a marriage in a different kind of state than someone who didn't experience that. So we need to pin it back on what the root cause is so that we can actually look at it and heal it.
What are some symptoms that a woman that maybe grew up in a broken family may be experiencing to know that she is struggling with these issues? Because maybe she doesn't even realize, and this is ringing true. And well, what are some of those things?
So this is a really interesting thing to me, again, as well as someone who didn't grow up in a divorced situation. I have a friend, Leanne Abel, who is one of the contributors to my book, Primal Loss, which is giving voice to the adult children of divorce. And she has since the book, she has started helping and working with children, adult children of divorce. And so she kind of synthesized these 9 different areas where the children of divorce struggle. And they're very similar. So everybody kind of has the same types of struggles and nobody really realizes it because they don't talk to other people about it. But here are the 9 categories that she kind of found that all the children of divorce that she talks to tend to struggle with. The first one is self-doubt, lack of confidence, insecurity, or anxiety. The second is anger. The third is difficulties with boundaries in relationships. The fourth is struggles with living out the fourth commandment, which is how do we honor our parents? The fifth is grief. The sixth is codependence. The seventh is loneliness. The eighth is difficulties with trust. And then number 9 would be lack of tools for relationship skills. So that's a pretty hefty list, but she found that really a lot of the children of divorce have these things in common.
Wow. So many people I know. And if we get together as a group and we're talking, or some of my friends or even women that I've counseled, a lot of that rings true. Mm-hmm. And that's a reality for a lot of women. For those of you that just are tuning in, we are talking with Layla Miller, and we are discussing my new book coming out this fall, Women Made New: Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. And Layla is one of the contributors and wrote one of the chapters, and her chapter focuses on divorce. Now, while I was reading your chapter and going through it, I literally started crying. Mm. It was so powerful, and your knowledge of these things. And do you know, I read some things in there that just rang true for me because I do come from a broken family, and things that I didn't even realize about myself that I was like, had this like aha moment, right? And it helped me a lot because I've gone through a lot of different healing processes because it kind of is a something that happens over time, and you're going through different seasons of life, right? And it really is like that onion you're peeling back, and you don't realize how many things truly did affect you as a child. And especially coming from the foundation of a broken family, it's like you're kind of starting off almost with one hand tied behind your back and not realizing it going into marriage.
Exactly. Exactly. And you might even have a spouse. This happens a lot too. You have a spouse who is maybe as confused as you, because perhaps the spouse was not a child of divorce. So, you know, marriage is complicated enough as it is because you're trying to fuse two lives and navigate relationships. And that's always tricky anyway. it's part of our sanctification. But for the child of divorce, they are doing this with, like you said, you know, it's one hand tied behind your back. It's that you're not operating the way someone from an intact family would operate. You're operating from a broken foundation. So you've got more to do, you know, more to try to navigate and fix, and you don't have the tools necessarily to do it. And then you might have a husband who's from an intact family and is very confused as to maybe why you're acting this way. And I'm meaning the generic you, any woman from divorce, you know, why is she so untrusting of me? Why is she so anxious? Why is she fighting with me like this when, you know, this really shouldn't end in a fight, you know, that type of thing. And so you've got the spouse who is confused as well. And that adds to the tension in the marriage. So we have to be aware of the roots of what's going on, so that we can talk even to our husbands about it. You know, if you're a child of divorce, you need to be able to say to your husband, "I'm so sorry, it's really not you." You know, I'm working out things from my childhood because I never saw this, that, or that. I never saw conflict being resolved. I never, you know, I always had pressure to be perfect or to make everybody happy. So there's all these different things that we need to be aware of in our own self if we're a daughter of divorce, and so that we can help our husbands understand as well.
Then you come into marriage, and I, at least I can speak on my behalf here of wanting to be this kind of Martha Stewart, just something's going to click and everything's going to fall into place almost. And you're going to run that household and be that wife that you've always imagined. And it's just not happening. And it's not what you think it was. And there for a long time, I had this frustration of, my gosh, what is, and then you think something's wrong with you. Right. Mm-hmm. And well, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? What's happening? What's this and that? And the self-doubt. And then you're just insecure. And then your abilities or even ability as a wife or a mom or like, I'm not doing this right. Or I didn't. And then you realize you didn't grow up with it. And then there is this resentment that, well, why wasn't I taught this? Why wasn't I told this? Why didn't I know it was going to be this hard? Right. And I think a lot of women can get sideswiped going into marriage because when you're a newlywed or you're engaged, everything is so happy and exciting and you have the future ahead of you and your whole lives, right, to live out. And that's beautiful. But then also, no one, of course, is talking about a lot of the difficulties that you are going to face as a married couple. And that's something that needs to be said. Or for those of you that have come from divorced families, I would highly suggest to get counseling and even have your future husband go with you or your future wife go with you and just go through that process to help better understand them. So that way, when you are in marriage and there are difficulties, you can kind of pinpoint what's happening instead of kind of going back and forth, not knowing what the real problem is, right?
Oh, exactly. So I always like to start from the foundation of that. First, we have to know what is true. So you have to know what is true about marriage. You have to apply your will to that. And then your emotions are going to take third place. What happens a lot of times with the children of divorce is they've come from trauma. Really, what a divorce is very traumatic. It is the shattering of your identity and your foundation and everything that God intended you to have as a child, which was a married mother and father who provide that stability, safety, and raise you up and educate you to adulthood. That's gone. So now you're, you know, just completely kind of floating. You're unmoored. You don't have that anchor, and you have a lot of emotions because the trauma that comes up. A lot of the ways people cope is just with how they react. So they're reacting rather than, you know, having learned to kind of respond to things. There's just reaction because your parents may have reacted and then they left and one of them left and, you know, everything blew up. So you've got all these emotions and a lot of the daughters of divorce tend to lead with feelings, you know, lead with the emotions. And so there might be a fight, you know, or a normal conflict in a marriage that they don't know is normal. So they would say, oh gosh, I'm feeling this horrible thing because that's what I felt as a child. I feel out of control. I feel like this is going to end badly. What they don't do is stop and think. And they don't have that in their mind that, okay, let me identify what's going on here. This is not the end of the world. a fight, even a big fight sometimes, or even ongoing conflict, doesn't mean the end of a family. It doesn't mean the end of a marriage. But for the child of divorce, they might see it as way more catastrophic. You know, they may see it as the end of everything, and the spouse might not. So there's all that. So you have to, as a child of divorce, really recognize how do you respond to something negative that might be coming at you in this marriage. And like you said, you know, therapy to really get a handle on, this is not the end of the world. You know, this conflict might happen, but stop, think, breathe. Why am I having this reaction that I'm about to maybe even sabotage my marriage due to my inability to know what to do at this moment?
Oh, absolutely. And so many women are doing that and living out of that wound that they don't even realize that they're doing it because they don't know that it is a problem. And I think I did that for a while. I was living out of that wound and not knowing what was happening. And because I came from that broken foundation, you kind of had to rebuild everything at one point. And it was a lot. But at the same time, it's worth going back, as hard and ugly and difficult as that may be. It is worth going through that than struggling day in, day out, always questioning, always wondering, always having this self-doubt and this cloud over you that is unnecessary. And it really was a form of just a stronghold I felt that almost the evil one had, because I was so emotional, but I was also in and out of pregnancies as well. Because yes, I didn't expect to get pregnant so fast as when we got married. And it was maybe a month or even 2 weeks after our honeymoon. And it was just one thing after the other that you just didn't expect. And so you just never know when you get married how things are going to turn out or what's going to happen or what God's going to give you. But at the same time, He always gives us the strength to handle everything. But when you have that broken foundation, it is definitely going to be so much more difficult for you as a woman to operate and function the way that you want to.
Well, exactly. And there's so much self-doubt in mm-hmm. the daughters of divorce. And so the self-doubt, you're like, okay, am I doing this right? What am I supposed to be doing? And then, like you said, there's the normal upheavals and emotional and even hormonal issues with pregnancy and nursing and all that. Of course, that is difficult with very healthy people. So you add on to that you don't know how to interact or deal in an intimate relationship. It's going to compound it to the point where you think, I must just be failing. This just must be all wrong and it's all bad. And so some women might react by using the coping mechanisms they used as a child, you know, but that may not work with a husband. It may not work in a marriage with a man. And then some people might decide to distance themselves to protect themselves from their husbands. So emotionally becoming very withdrawn or distant, some, you know, being quite independent. And of course, that's not going to work in a marriage, which is an interdependent type of relationship. And then others become codependent because they're so desperate, you know, to be with this other person and make everything right and make sure that they're okay. And that's also, you know, going too far the other way. So, and you have some women who were taught that men are bad. You know, they had a feminist mother who said, you know, this guy's just a jerk and I'm leaving and I can be on my own. And they might think, okay, well, gosh, I learned from my mother that all men are this way. All men are rotten. All men are going to leave. All men are cheaters, you know, whatever. So that it's like the woman isn't even necessarily present there with her husband in the marriage. She's still dealing, like you said, you know, out of the wounds of her past. And it's a recipe for disaster if we don't get a handle on the fact that, okay, that's not coming from the marriage, which is good. It's not coming from the husband whom you love, you know, even though there are problems, of course, there always are in any relationship, but it's coming from this unlooked at wound that we really need to go back and heal.
Absolutely. Again, for those of you that might just be tuning in, we are talking with Layla Miller, and we are discussing my new book coming out, Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. And Layla Miller is one of the contributors, and she wrote the chapter on divorce, and it is absolutely phenomenal. And I was in tears reading it. And I have to say that again, because it was so impactful. And I really did recognize things about myself I didn't before. And it was truly, when you were writing that, the Holy Spirit was definitely with you, because I know it's not just me. I know there are so many other women that come from divorce that do struggle with that. And it's even the society at the time that I was growing up in, it was all about women's rights and girl power, and you don't need a man to do anything. In fact, you're equal to a man, all of those things, right? And so when I did grow up, it was just like, well, I don't really need a husband, right? I guess I don't really need a man to take care of me. I'll do it on my own. And I became very independent. But when you have that kind of mentality, Layla, you also become independent from God. And you don't even realize how that affects your relationship with Jesus and how it distances you. Because for the longest time, I could not see Jesus as a man because I had such issues with men of things that happened to me growing up. But I could in the Eucharist, and I could embrace him in the Eucharist, and that was safe for me. So really, if you do go back to your childhood and your upbringing, it will say volumes about how you are right now if you are going around unhealed from these things.
Yes, and it's important. I mean, you've just articulated something that probably millions of women have experienced themselves. And yet, the big thing that I find in my work is that most children of divorce, adult children of divorce, feel such an isolation. And the ones who finally do identify, gosh, maybe this is somehow connected to my childhood, you know, or these terrible things that I felt and that I experienced, they think they're alone in those feelings. I might have said this to you before in a different talk we had, but the thing that strikes me so much is I had one woman, I was on an EWTN interview, and some woman in her late 60s emailed me after that. And she said, my parents divorced over 50 years ago, and I never in my life knew that anyone else felt the way that I did. And I thought, my goodness, this woman has walked around for 50 years thinking she's the only person who has these feelings about her parents' divorce. And that's unacceptable. I mean, we got millions and millions of people feeling the same thing, and they're not allowed to talk about it. So the isolation, the thought that no one else feels this way, and then the guilt and the shame and the self-doubt that comes with that, that's what this chapter hopefully will address, is that, hey, look, we have to acknowledge that this is not uncommon. This is quite common, but we are not allowed to speak about it. And I want to say, yeah, let's speak about it, because we're going to save marriages if we can identify that this is what's going on. And so we got to stop this isolation. It's absolutely toxic. And I do think it is diabolical. Because just like in hell, you know, what is it like in hell? We're all the people in hell, the souls in hell are all isolated. They may all kind of be together, but they're all kind of in on, you know, they've fallen in onto themselves. They're very selfish and alone, and they don't interact with others in any intimate way. So we don't want to put people in isolation. That's just a tad feeling of being in hell. Nobody wants to be that way. So, the loving thing to do is to realize that we are all interconnected. God is with us. God is with these children of divorce. God is in that marriage. And so if we have to just pull them out of this idea that they are alone and that they are isolated.
Right. And refuse to live in the prison of somebody else's sins.
Yes.
And the effects of their sins. And for the longest time, I did. And I was in that prison, and I was ashamed, and I had so much, I had no self-worth, and I thought I wasn't enough. And in my marriage, especially in the beginning years, it was so difficult. And our first child had a lot of health issues as well. And then there I was just, oh my goodness, even my children are having problems. Like, I'm just a broken mess, you know? Like, it was horrible. But by the grace of God, he healed that. And I understood what was happening and what was going on. And through by the grace of God healing, but at the same time to live in that, it was terrible and it was hard and it was lonely because you don't want anyone to see your wounds. You don't want anyone to see your brokenness and you don't want to show anyone because you already feel like you're not enough as it is. What are they going to think if you reveal these things to them, you know? So it was very difficult. And I know there are other women out there struggling like I did, especially in the beginning of my marriage, with this topic that they don't even realize they're probably going through. Now, we are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN right now. But when we get back, we will also talk about how to kind of reorient your past and really starting over and letting God's mercy come in and kind of put you in the direction that you want to be. So we'll have more from Layla Miller. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert, and we have our beautiful guest today, Layla Miller, and we are discussing my new book, Women Made New, coming out this fall, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. And Layla is one of the contributors, and she has a chapter specifically on divorce. If you come from divorce and the different types of women, that there are women that come from divorce and there are women that don't come from divorce. And there are very different dynamics at play there, because if you have a spouse that does come from divorce, it's good to know maybe what's happening and you can recognize the different wounds or challenges that you're facing right now and put a name on it. Because when it's kind of just out there and you don't know what's happening, it makes it all the more difficult to kind of just heal the marriage and the relationship and maybe the hurts and wounds that have happened.
Yes, absolutely. So there's a reorientation, as you mentioned, that needs to happen. Again, we all go into, whether we're a child of divorce or a child of an intact family, we all go into marriage as it's a learning curve, right? Everybody's got to suffer a little bit. And again, this is our sanctification, our state in life, whether we're priest, religious, a married person, we're all sanctified by our state in life. So first, we just have to realize that our vocation is our cross in a good way. That's how we get to heaven. So we expect the ups and downs, the usual ups and downs. You know, the child of divorce has many more complications, many more ups and downs. So there has to be a reorientation for those women. And what are some of the solutions? Well, first of all, you have to keep in mind that marriage is a life's work. Okay. Everyone, I think, wants to come into marriage and just make it better. Just fix everything that happened before. Like you said, when you came into your marriage, it's just going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. I'm going to know how to do everything. No, there's a reason why God made marriage lifelong. We need an entire life to be free to fall and get back up and grow and help each other. And so that's how we become saints. So we've got to think of it in that way. Okay. It's a life's work. I'm not going to be perfect, and I'm especially not going to be perfect at the beginning. I'm going to have to learn over the years. Then self-reflection is huge. I mean, we have to look at ourselves and say, okay, you know, did I just scream at my husband or, you know, fall apart because of something in my past, because of something that I haven't dealt with from my childhood? You know, am I bringing that to bear now onto a situation today that really has no business being in today's situation? So, you know, there's a lot of self-reflection that has to happen. And that's always good with a good, you know, if you get a good spiritual director or even a good holy friend. You might really admire a woman who has a healthy marriage, who is an older woman. Maybe she's been through some decades of marriage, and she can mentor you and tell you, you know what? No, it's normal for a man to talk in that tone. It's a masculine tone. It's not a frightening thing. Or she could say, you know, no, that's a little bit over the top for him to talk like that. You know, someone who can just give you a perspective, because a child from a divorce might not know that there are certain ways that men are and certain ways that women are, and it's okay. That complementarity is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Masculinity is different from femininity, but someone who came from divorce might not see that, might have only seen a bad example of masculinity and might not know, for example, what is normal within a normal, healthy marriage. And they also have seen bad examples of femininity, you know, of women.
Yes.
Very much so, right? So, and I never ever want to just pick on the guys, because believe me, I see a lot of bad things happening in marriages because of women's, especially because of feminism, right? Radical feminism kind of makes people distorted in their feminine nature, and that can destroy marriages. So you have to really be self-reflective. You also have to, like I said, you could get a mentor, but you have to pick your friends carefully. Women today tend to want to make people feel better, make people feel good. We want to help our friends get out of suffering. But sometimes we go way too far and we base things on someone's feelings, like, well, God wouldn't want you to be, you know, unhappy. God wouldn't want you to suffer. It's like, wait, wait, wait. What do we know? Let's go back to our intellect. Marriage is for life. Marriage is a good and holy thing. We love our husbands. We want our husbands to thrive. We want our marriages to thrive. By pitting husband against wife, as some friends will do, some friends will try to pit you against your husband. That's never a good friend. So pick your friends carefully. Find holy friends who will help you and help you get perspective on things. Other things, like just making new traditions. Like, you could have a stressful marriage because you're constantly still trying to navigate your family of origin. Maybe every holiday you're trying to figure out how to make peace or deal with your mother and her new husband and your father and his third wife and all the half siblings and the step siblings. And you may be trying to navigate and make peace and make sure that everything is fine. It may be, like a friend of mine, that you just have to start your own traditions with your own family during the holidays and kind of let that go to the wayside. And if people want to come to your house, great, they're welcome. But you're not going to kind of try to straddle all those different worlds and stress yourself out. So those are ways you can deal with it and take the anxiety level down. Just acknowledging the elephant in the room, which is, hey, I come from a divorced family. Please be patient with me, to your dear husband, right? Just be patient. I'm working it out.
Just like that. Just say it. Just like that.
Just like that.
Just come out and say it.
Yes. And a husband will actually respect that, because
and appreciate
his wife. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The burden will come off of him to make things perfect, because he now realizes, wait, I'm not the one that's, you know, that's the root cause of why she is so anxious or so worried. And he's going to appreciate that. And he's going to then want to help ease your way. And communication, obviously, you know, women want men to read their minds. No, just tell him, you know what? I'm dealing with the stuff from my childhood. Thank you so much for loving me anyway. That's going to disarm him and make him very, very protective of you. It's a wonderful thing. And then, of course, I mean, the biggest thing, of course, is prayer and the
major
sacraments, sacraments, the sacrament of confession, you know, the sacrament of the Eucharist. I mean, all of those things. And then draw upon the graces of the sacrament of marriage. You know, so how often we forget that we can call down those graces from our marriage. That is a sacrament that is powerful, and work on just slowly healing those wounds from the past. It's about going in the right direction. It's not going to be instantaneous healing, but we need to know that we can go in the right direction. Our husbands know what's going on. That's very, very important. If he's a child of divorce also, you can try to do that healing together. You know, you can say, look, you have this wound as well. Let's spare the next generation. Let's heal this generational wound and give our children something that we didn't have. And that's a solidarity that is priceless. So
absolutely.
Those are some, yeah, different ways to maybe heal those wounds going forward.
There is no perfect woman, no perfect man. We're all sinners. And so that means there's no perfect wife. right? There's no perfect mom, and that we all have our struggles. We all have our weaknesses, and we all just need to give each other almost a break of like, there's no perfection. Everyone's just doing the best that they can to a certain extent. But I would say if there's anything you take from this and you're a newlywed, and maybe you're starting now or you're starting a healing process within your marriage, guard your marriage on every level, because it's so easy for cracks to get in. And if it's maybe a new hobby or a new friend or a new gym or a new job or whatever it may be, it slowly puts this wedge between you two that you've got to kind of step back and really discern if this truly is God's will or if this could be a distraction or something, because you never know how something can affect your relationship. And you just, if you're discerning and really leaving that in God's hand, and you always just want to put your marriage under the will of God. And my prayer always is, Lord Jesus, please, if you don't want this person in our life, or you don't want this friendship, or you don't want this job, or you don't want this project, please take it away if this is not your will. And I always cover it with the precious blood of Jesus, because the devil comes in all shapes and sizes and you never know. But if you know you're always putting it through that filter, that whatever you want, Lord, whatever is your will, let your will be done in our marriage and our lives with our children. You almost are kind of protecting yourselves. Now, is it always easy to do that? Absolutely not. Because sometimes, well, you want to go to that gym, or sometimes you want to have that friend, or you want to do that project. But at the end of the day, we want to strive for holiness and do what's best for our beloved. And so if we kind of put it through that filter, you always know that you are doing that. And sometimes there is sacrifice involved, but at the same time, you'll have a stronger bond that way. Does that make sense?
It does. And it's beautiful. I love, you know, we put our vocation first. So even if we have a million wonderful things that we could do, and there are so many talents that women have and so many gifts to want to bring out into the world. And then, but like you said, as long as the centrality of your vocation is intact and that is first, then you can think about these other things. But God will judge us at the end of our lives on our obedience to the duties of our state in life. And that, again, it's true for priests, it's true for married people. So, and you know, religious sisters. And so we have to, maybe one litmus test we can think about is, am I resenting my husband for getting in the way, you know, of something that I want? Am I resenting him? Or the better way to look at it is, and hopefully you'll have this, do I still delight in my husband? Like, you know, there's nothing we want more than for people to delight in us, to see us, to cherish us, to light up when they see us, to want to be around us. Are we having that same feeling for our husbands? You know, do we delight when we see him, when he comes home from work? Do we hope to please him? And just, he brings us joy, even if he's not perfect. Again, believe me, I mean, you know, men are not perfect, but I can tell you that they know women aren't perfect either, right? We're not always that joyful, wonderful person that they want to be around. But at base, do we still find that delight in that person? And if not, what is the bitterness and what is the resentment and the unforgiveness that is standing in the way of us fully delighting in and loving our primary person? You know, that's our person. And we need to get rid of anything that gets in the way of that.
Right. And that's the key. What is getting in the way right now of you stepping in to becoming the woman God is calling you to be? Because there is something, there's a roadblock, there's resentment or unforgiveness or a weakness or a brokenness or something that unresolved sin or something that happened in the past that is blocking so many women right now from stepping into the woman God created them and calls them to be. And if that is something within your marriage, that's something really to look at and to take seriously, because there's something there and it's probably not good, or there's a fear there. But to recognize it, name it, own it, face it, and heal it, and then be able to move on and not operate. I felt like I was operating like a handicap because I knew there was a brokenness there. I just didn't know what it was. And it really took a lot of humility on my part to just really take that evaluation of myself of, okay, what is happening here? And I didn't want to go to counseling. Jesus kept telling me to. I even told him, no, in adoration. I don't want to go, because it's almost humiliating. But at the same time, it was the best thing I ever did. And there is something so powerful about going and facing and owning and healing yourself to become that strong, whole woman God is calling you to be. And he wouldn't call you to that if he wasn't going to get you through it and give you all the tools necessary to follow through, right? And I love the quote in your chapter, Layla, is a daughter of divorce can reorient her past by leaving it in God's merciful hands and looking towards the future from the perspective of heaven. That is beautiful. And a lot of women that do come from all this brokenness and this yuck, they think, well, I'm going to be different. It's going to be different. Well, my question to you is then, what tells you that? Because everything inside of you is ordered a different way, that you just don't have the tools. You have to go out and get those tools because you weren't given them. So to just falsely think, well, I'm not going to be that way. Well, what's going to keep you from becoming that way? Because that's what you grew up seeing. That is your foundation. And if you don't go in and change it and trade out those tools for those self-destructive tools that you may have, that it's going to be a problem. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to swap the tools out for the ones that will actually
work.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's self-defeating to keep, you know, doing the same thing that brought so much misery and so many struggles and really sin. And what you said just really hit me, the humility. You know, we don't want to be humbled. We are raised on pride, you know, just, I can do this. You know, I'm not, you know, I don't want to humiliate myself in any way. And yet that's kind of the opposite of what Christ asks of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is saying, stretch yourself to the point where you can be humiliated in the sense that Christ, you know, I was say Christ was, I have a picture in my hallway, actually. I want my boys to see it every time they go to their rooms. So I put it at the end of the hallway, and it's a picture of Jesus being mocked, you know, during his passion, because this is what we must understand. If God himself was willing to be humbled and even humiliated, then we have to imitate him and be willing to do that. If we're not willing to be humiliated, then that all that means is that we're stuck in our pride. And I hope that we all know what pride does to a soul. It certainly doesn't lead us in docility towards God and towards heaven. So I love that you talked about humility, the humility to admit that we can't do it. You know, we can't do it on our own. We've got to get to either, you know, and not either or, but for a lot of people, both a good therapist and all the sacraments, including confession, you know, and going to your husband also and saying, look, this is me and I'm sorry. So, I mean, there's so many ways to humble ourselves, but every one of them can be a very healthy step towards becoming holy, and holiness will bring you peace. That's the thing that people need to understand.
Absolutely. And not be afraid of showing those wounds to your spouse, because we want to hide them. We want to have them together. Maybe you don't feel like you can be vulnerable or you're scared of getting hurt, but this is your spouse. And those of you that are in a relationship, a healthy relationship, but yes, you have brokenness, you have wounds, but you're overall in a healthy relationship and your spouse is a healthy person mentally, that they want to help you. They want to love you. They want to show you that you are enough, that God gave you to them as a gift, and vice versa. And God gave that person to you as a helpmate to get you through just those things, those hard things in life, those spiritual things in life that we may struggle with. And at times your husband may be weak and you'll be the strong one, or he'll be the weak one, and it'll just go vice versa. But you kind of have to go with the ebbs and flows of what God is doing within your marriage, because there's a reason and a purpose for everything that happens. And if we just stop and truly listen to what God is telling us in our heart, it's unbelievable the things that God wants to do with both of you and within your marriage, because maybe without that, you would not be able to become the woman or man that you were created to be without your spouse.
Absolutely. 100%. And I could tell you, as someone who's been married now for 32 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And we started out, you know, as a kind of almost a secular couple. My husband was not Catholic at the time, not even Christian. And I was a lapsed Catholic. But I can tell you that even as we go through, you know, these later years and we're grandparents now, and I am still learning how to be a good wife. I have a long way to go. And my husband and I are happily married. And yet there's so much left to learn. And it's almost like you could stand back in awe and you could say, this is what God meant when he said, you know, till death do you part. There's a lifelong
there's seriousness in that.
There is a heavy seriousness, and there is a building of a life that can't be done like just by getting married. And then the first year you're like, now we just live happily ever after.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. And so, the idea, which we did put in the chapter, is that, again, this is a life's work. If we can keep that in the forefront of our minds, in our hearts, that this is going to be something that God wants us to do and grow through and with for the entire time that either we or the other person is alive. It takes some of the pressure off, because it gives you room to work and to forgive and to fall and to get back up. And hopefully, you know, again, you learn that you aren't going to be just tossed to the side the minute that you are unlovable or the minute that you make a mistake.
That's right. Absolutely. Your ministry and what you do, Layla, and all of the books that you put out are so helpful, especially with this topic. If women would like to know more about you, where can they go and how do they find you?
Yeah, so they can go to my website, which is laylamiller.net, and it's spelled L-E-I-L-A. Miller.net. And so my books on Impossible Marriages Redeemed, and then the Primal Loss, which is the Children of Divorce Speak, are really helpful. I think that hopefully we can put people on the track to save their families, save their marriages. Because if you save a marriage, you're saving a family and you're saving generations.
Generations. So, that's it. That's a big deal, right? Big deal.
It's a huge deal. And we need to get back to understanding how big that ripple effect is.
That's right. And what we do right now, it matters, and the decisions we make. Layla, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being a part of this book, and God bless you and all the work that you do.
Thank you, Crystalina. This is going to be an amazing book. I'm so excited. Actually, I'm so excited for this book. So thank you.
God bless.
Ladies, a lot of you who have heard this interview today may have some heaviness in your heart. It may be one of the very first times that you've thought about the connection between pain, difficulty, and even despair in your marriage, and that connection with the loss of your family as a child due to divorce or separation. And so I just want to really encourage you to not despair, to recognize that many, many people have gone through this before you, are going through this now. It is actually quite normal to have these difficulties and feel this discouragement and even despair if you have had a shattered foundation and you're trying hard to make things different, but without maybe the tools that you need. But the first step, of course, is recognizing it. So there is great hope, great, great hope. Anytime you pick a wound or see a wound or, you know, look at a wound for the first time, it might seem overwhelming, even worse than leaving it alone. But once you do open that wound and look at it, that's when the healing can start. And so this may be a very painful talk that you've just listened to. It may bring up all sorts of thoughts and emotions and memories and worries and concerns and anxieties. But that's okay. That's what happens when you first look at it. Maybe you're making this connection again for the first time. Maybe you've made the connection but didn't know what to do. Essentially, I want to just say there is so much hope. The next step would be to find a good Catholic counselor that could be something you could do. Always make sure that Catholic counselor is fully on board with the teachings of the Holy Catholic Church. Someone who does not believe in divorce or believe in, the type of pitting of woman against man and feminism, but someone who really is going to address those wounds that, yes, you indeed were very much hurt and wounded by the injustice of parental divorce in your life, and now it's affecting your marriage. And in fact, I do want to say this, not every parent is culpable for the divorce. Clearly, maybe one of your parents was the person who abandoned or who left. Maybe both of them wanted the divorce. But a lot of times there's an abandoned spouse, so we're not blaming all the parents. And we are forgiving even the ones who were the perpetrators of the divorce. But regardless of whether or not there was malicious intent involved, there's only one reason why divorce happens, and that is because someone somewhere sinned. Someone is guilty of sin somewhere. And so there is an injustice to the child always. It's never the child's fault. So a counselor would need to understand that there was an injustice done to you as a child, to acknowledge that and then move from there. So there's therapists. There are resources. You could read my book, Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak. You could read Impossible Marriages Redeemed. They didn't end the story in the middle. That's the follow-up, the hopeful follow-up to Primal Loss. Those can be found on my website, leilamiller.net, L-E-I-L-A, miller.net, along with some other marriage resources, marriage support. I also offer those books for free in PDF form. So that would just be leilamiller.net/primal loss PDF and leilamiller.net impossible marriages redeemed. leilamiller.net/impossible marriages redeemed PDF. So again, Kristalina's book is going to be coming out in a few months here. That's going to be helpful. But just know that you are not alone. There is great, great hope that this is normal, that you feel this turmoil, and that you can and will, like many, many other women, get your marriage back on track, have a happy, peaceful interior life, and be able to live that life you want in your marriage rather than repeat anything that came in your past. And you can do this. So please, please do not. Do not despair if you feel heavy, if this was a really difficult talk for you. Again, thank you so much for listening. Please know that we are praying for you. So many people understand the situation now and didn't understand it before. God is hopefully opening many eyes, and you are very much loved by God the Father, and He is your Father in heaven, and He will bring you through this because He didn't give you this cross to carry without the means to sanctify you and use it to make you holy. God bless you.
I want to thank my guest again, Leila Miller, for being here and all of her wisdom, and thank her for being a part of this new book that is going to be coming out. And if you want to download the first chapter of Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing, you can go to womenmadenew.org and download the first chapter. And then also you will get updates on the upcoming guests coming on and when the book is going to be coming out and all of the happenings here at Women Made New. So sign up and don't forget to share it with a friend. Also, don't forget today is Saturday and there is confession all over the country at churches this afternoon. And most churches have confession on Saturdays, and there is nothing more important than being right with God. So have the courage, go to confession and start anew. I hope you all have a wonderful, safe 4th of July weekend. It's coming upon us, and enjoy your family and your loved ones, and know you all will be in my prayers. God bless.